Good morning. It is good to be here with you. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us. Thank you, God, that you give us these moments that we could together open this book and read, and that you speak when we read this. So God, I pray that you would do that today, that you would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so flip over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and as we're going through Colossians, just a little reminder, the question that's being answered is, what does it look like to be a Christian? What does it look like for you and I to live as God's children? If we are God's children, this is chapter 1 and 2, if God's grace has been showered over us, if we are adopted into his family and forgiven and beloved, if we are in Christ, then what does that look like? How are we to live? So, Colossians 3, verse 16, and, okay, here's the thing. It's going to start off talking about something that we tend to not do very well. I know it's a generalization, and we might read it, and you might say, I do this perfectly, in which case, maybe you have Facebook on your phone, something to fill up half an hour. For the rest of us, I think this is something that, just from my observation of my own life and then, you know, talking to people over the years, this is something we tend to not do very well and we struggle with. So let's read. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'll finish the verse, but that's all we're going to talk about today is that first part. So not to, have too much buildup. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And I know it's all connected, but there's different parts of there that I think that merit our kind of focused attention. So the first part, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let God's word dwell in you richly. And our first reaction might be to say, well, what do you mean that's not something we do very well? What do you mean that's not our reality, that we don't do that phenomenally well? Aren't we people of the book? We carry this book with us, and we call ourselves people of the book, and we say, you know, if it's in the Bible, it's got to be. No one else come up under Sam England, Vacation Bible School? Yeah, we would shout it back. If it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. And little kids shouting back, and it was okay. Once you get older, you can't shout in church. But little kids, that's different. So we sap. This is who we are. This is what we come together two, sometimes three times a week, and open this and read it. And how are we not? How do we not? How can you say that we don't always let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Well, I think our little secret is that, if truth be told, even though we say we're people of the book and we carry this around, and many times you and I might know our Bibles better than, you know, like the average person who works next to us, you know, on down the line, or the person who lives next to us, we might know it better. We might have more information about this. And the truth of the matter is, we don't always read it a lot. Or very frequently. Now again, you might say, that's not me. That's not my reality. I was up at 5 this morning, and I read like 3 books. So, you know, okay, not you. But the rest of us, again, this is something we don't talk about a lot. But what I've observed over the few years that I've been in ministry, you know, as a leader, talking with people, you talk with more and more people, and then you look at your own life, and you talk to other people, and look at your own life, you tend to just, what I see is that most Christians' reality is not that we immerse ourselves in this on a daily, regular basis, and read great quantities of the Bible, and that the Word of Christ richly dwells in us. Rather, what I see is that the common threads that I hear and that I feel myself are, there's like a boredom factor when I have to read the Bible. I know I have to, but oh, it's gonna be hard. I gotta make myself focus and concentrate, and I'm gonna read, and I know I'm not gonna remember anything afterwards. Am I the only one? Anything else is more interesting. Any little distraction. Oh, there's a fly. I got to kill the fly first, and then I forgot this, and I forgot. Anything is more interesting than this. That's many times what I feel, and then. There's like a sense of laziness that comes in when I know I should read the Bible, but it's like I have to push myself to do it because it feels so difficult. Like have you ever noticed that reading any other book, even something for school, is almost easier and kind of more interesting? We wouldn't say that on Sunday mornings in church, but I am for us. So it's like it's easier to read anything. I could read when I was a kid, I could read like five Hardy Boy books in a day. I could just go through them. But Bible is like, it's like hard. The words are different or something. Even when you're reading a good version where the words aren't different, it's hard. And then it's like we don't have this desire to read the Bible. Have you ever thought about that? It's like, I have to read the Bible. Remind me to read the Bible. I have this burning desire inside of me to read the Bible. You know what? My wife never has to remind me to turn on the television at night. You forgot to turn on the TV. We didn't watch any TV last night. What's wrong with you? That I never hear that. That's never something that's said. We remember some things, right? There's a desire in us. You know, the stuff that I like to do, no one has to remind me. You know, you really should work out today. I like to work out, so that's maybe it's, for you, it's that would be something you had to be reminded of. But for me, I don't have to be reminded. Some things we do on our own. We enjoy them. I have to set reminders and have plans, and oh, I'm behind. And I tell my wife, because she follows me in YouVersion, we're like friends or whatever in YouVersion. And so I click when I finish my plan for the day. And sometimes if I don't finish the plan or if I read my paper Bible and I don't click it in there, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. But she'll be like, have you been reading your Bible lately? I need to read more. That's all I'll confess. And then I'll open the Bible and read more. Don't have to have that reminder, that accountability for a lot of other stuff that I enjoy, because many times there's not this burning desire to read the Bible, and so we forget about it. We don't put great priority in it. So let's look at what God says we should do and what our attitude towards this book should be, and recognizing many times this, sometimes it is, but many times it isn't our reality. But what does God say we should do in relation to this? Well, look at the first word, let. That's it. That is a commandment word, let. It's a command. It's not an optional thing. And I feel like I'm kind of a broken record because every week with everything we're looking at in this passage, I say, this is a command. Just look at the grammar. He's not saying this is an optional thing. You can kind of do if you want to. He's saying, if you're my child, this is what my children do. This doesn't make you my child, but since you are my child, this is how my children live. My children do this. This is what it means. If you're a Christian, this is something that is to be part of your life. That's what he's saying. It's a command. If you're thinking about becoming a Christian, this is something that your father, when you become a Christian, you repent and are baptized and you enter into Christ, that God, who will be your father, he will say, this is what you do. This is how you live. It's just part of it. So what is the thing? He says, let the word of Christ rule in your hearts, or dwell would be another word, inhabit in your hearts. Let the word of Christ rule or dwell in your hearts. I'm sorry. I skipped a verse. Didn't bring my glasses because I don't think it's as cool to be putting on reading glasses, and I'll get over that eventually, like when I can't read correctly anymore. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's to dwell in us? It's the word of Christ. And that's an interesting thing because if you think about it, who is Jesus? He's God's son. He's God. He's part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He's God the Son. He's God who put on flesh and dwelt among us. Look at John 1:1. Look at how it describes Jesus. Look at the word that it uses to describe him. It doesn't say force, it doesn't say power, it doesn't say a lot of things that it could say to describe Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It describes Jesus as the Word of God. And then flip down, or not, you probably want to flip. This is on a different page. John 1:14, a couple verses later. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. And He, now this is, I don't know, this is, it's not in the context in Colossians, but to me this is really interesting. Jesus is the Word of God. And He dwelt among us. And then it says, and now we should let the Word of Christ, His Word, dwell in us. What's that talking about? Well, it's the Bible. Jesus, the Word of God, gave us His Word, which is the inspired Word of God. Flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. The reason I'm not flipping when I say flip over is because I copied these verses into my notes so that it just flows better. But either flip or write it down to read at home. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, that's the canon of Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So it's inspired, it's breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. This is His Word. This is the Word of Christ. The Word of God, God the Son, became put on flesh and dwelt among us, and now He gave us His Word, and it is to dwell in us. That's the neatest concept to me, and that's what He's saying. He's saying the Bible, that's what it is. This is what's supposed to dwell in us, and now let's make a distinction, because, again, for some reason, it's easier. Have you ever noticed when you, how many YouVersion readers? Bible app? Okay, a few of us. So you ever notice how it's easier to, since it says it's the Bible, and then you could pick plans, and most of it is like devotional reading, like reading a book, and then there's like a verse at the end. It's like I read my Bible today. Well, I read a verse. I read a book, and there was a footnote in it. That's kind of what that is. But that can be easier, right? That's not necessarily letting the Word. So when it says let the Word of Christ dwell in you, it's not talking about plans, you know, Bible devotionals. It's not talking about listening to sermons. This is not letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It could be part of it, but it's not. It's not the fullness of it. This is exhortation and hopefully inspiration, but it's not letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's not reading books about the Bible with footnotes or even texts from the Bible in them. I write books about the Bible. I think that's very profitable. But it does not fulfill this command. Reading those books, it's like my wife right now is editing the next book that's going to come out. And she's like, I need to do that. So she'll, you know, edit. And she's like, I got to read my Bible. I was like, don't. I always tell her, do that if you have time. Read the Bible first. Read the Bible more. And if you don't have time to edit the book, that's okay, because that's not this. This is the Word of Christ. It's not listening to Christian music and singing along. That'll be in a couple of verses, kind of. But that's not letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Although, if the words and the songs that you're singing come directly from the Bible, that is very beneficial and edifying. But as edifying as all those things are, Bible plans, messages, books, it's not reading the Bible. It's not this. This is the Word of Christ. This is what we're to allow to dwell richly in us. They help, but they don't replace. Okay, I'll come back from that little rant. And so the Word of Christ, He's saying, this is what it's supposed to do, the Word of Christ, dwell. Saying, dwell. Live. Stay. Don't let it come in one eye and go out the other eye. I know that's not the expression, right? It's one ear and out the other ear, but if you're reading, it's the eyes, right? So, okay, go with me on that. It's not supposed to just, I read, and then at the end, have you ever done that? You read the Bible and you're done, and it's like, what did I read? I have no recollection. How is that possible? It went in and it went out and it didn't stay. He says it's supposed to dwell in us. It's supposed to enter and stay. We're supposed to read and store it up. We're supposed to be Rubbermaid containers. We're supposed to be Rubbermaid containers of the Word of God. We're supposed to be containers of God's Word. We're supposed to be filled up, and it's supposed to dwell and live and inhabit in us. And it inhabits us when we read it. That's the thing. It inhabits us when we read it. We have to open this and read. It inhabits us when we meditate. And that's not a weird, like, Eastern religion thing. That word's been co-opted by other stuff. Meditate is just thinking deeply about what you read. So it's reading and reading a lot and then zeroing in on one thing and saying, I'm going to think about that word or that verse all day. I'm going to just repeat that in my mind. I'm going to think about it. I'm gonna pray about it. I'm gonna say, God, what are you saying with that? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to change with that? It's having a conversation with God throughout the day based around his word that you read in the morning. That's letting it dwell in us. It dwells in us when we memorize. You know how hard it is to memorize the Bible? If reading the Bible is hard for us, how memorize it, like impossible. But what better way for this to dwell in us than memorizing? And I tried to memorize the book of Jude a while back, and I wrote the whole thing down, and then I wrote it down again, like, you know, word for word, and then kept repeating it. And I parts of it, I've kind of right now fallen into the habit of trying to memorize smaller chunks, smaller bits. And this series is helping me because as we go through Colossians, I'm thinking all week long, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I have that memorized. Now, my memory is not as good as it once was, which wasn't very good, so that may not be memorized for very long, but it is memorized in my mind. It's when we memorize the word, and if you can memorize verses and chapters, do that. And if you can't, try to do it, because that is letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then that's the other word. So look at that. Let the word of Christ dwell. We're supposed to be containers of this. It's supposed to live in us richly. I love that word. Or some versions would say abundantly. Okay, think about that word. We're supposed to let this, not just read it, we're supposed to let it dwell in us abundantly. That's like a lot, right? We're supposed to be full with this. So when I hear, let this dwell in me abundantly, several things come to mind. One is, I shouldn't just read in the morning. I shouldn't just start my day with reading. I should read throughout the day. I shouldn't have like a legalistic time to read the Bible. I should want to, and I should also make myself read continually throughout the day. I should go back to this. Like maybe every time if you're a Facebook person, before you go to Facebook on the phone, just flip open the Bible app first. Like make a little personal legalism for yourself that you wouldn't bind on somebody else, but maybe you tell yourself, I want this to dwell in me abundantly. So every time before I text my wife or whatever you do a lot throughout the day, say, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm just going to read some of it. I'm going to always be reading this. It's reading a lot. It's reading once a day, but it's reading more than once a day. And it's reading quantities of this. There isn't a spiritual merit badge, even though I think you get merit badges like in YouVersion, but in God, with God, there aren't spiritual merit badges for like reading a lot. However, letting this dwell abundantly in us is more than reading the verse of the day. It's more than reading like a little snippet. Okay, I'm done for the Bible for the day. That's good. We're to read the Bible, so I'm reading the Bible, but that is not letting it dwell abundantly in me. Abundantly is opening it up and saying, I'm going to read. I'm going to read for a while. I'm going to read for like an eternity. It's going to feel like the longest time, and I'm going to look at it and say, 10 minutes have gone by, and I've read 4 chapters. Okay, so it's not that long. Maybe I could keep reading. It's making ourselves read. That's more than just a verse, more than just a little bit reading, training ourselves to read chapters and chapters and just listen to God and then letting it dwell abundantly. We talked about meditation, but it's thinking about the word throughout the whole day, not just I'm done reading, I'm going to think about it a little bit and then be done. I've done my devotions for the day. That's as good as the idea of doing devotions in the morning is, there's a downside to that concept. Not throw the baby out with the bathwater downside. We should have devotions in the morning. We should start our day talking to God and listening to God. We should do that. But the downside is that because it's a thing, we can finish that thing and then say, I'm done with this for the rest of the day. That's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not dwelling abundantly in us. We're to be thinking about it and meditating on it throughout the day and letting Christ's word dwell in us richly. How many of you have James, the chapter 1, going through your minds right now? The guy looking in the mirror and forgetting what he saw. So when you read the word, do it. Don't just look at it and not do it and forget what you read. how can we talk about letting this dwell abundantly in us without saying part of it dwelling abundantly in me is me actually doing it? This isn't supposed to be a me getting more knowledge thing. Knowledge puffs up. This isn't about, not knowledge isn't bad, but knowledge by itself puffs up. This isn't about me knowing the Bible better. Us dwelling in, this dwelling in us abundantly, reading a lot of it, reading a lot of times throughout the day, letting this be what we do more than anything else. That's what it's supposed to be. Many times, confess, not for me, but it's what it's supposed to be. So if that's what it is, the purpose of that is for me to be changed, right? To act differently, to do what it's saying. So part of this dwelling richly in me is me obeying whatever it says. So it's me saying, God, I just read your word, and this is you talking to me. What should I do? What do you want me to do? It's asking that question as we close the Bible or before we close it. I'm done reading, so what do you want me to do? What did you say? What did I just read? What did you say? What do you want me to do? We'll come back to that at the end. It's listening and then doing. One more word from this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And this is the idea that, wow, it's supposed to be in us. It's not supposed to be the superficial knowledge that we accumulate. It's supposed to be in our hearts. It's supposed to fill us up and totally affect and change how we feel. My emotions are supposed to come out of what is true from God, what God's truth is. That's where my emotions are supposed to come from, because my mind is being filled with this. My heart is to be filled with this. And my mind being filled with this should change how I think. My reaction to things should start changing. The way that I perceive things, the things that come to mind when I think I should have said that and I should have said this, those I should have said and I should have done and this is what I should respond, those should increasingly be things coming from the Word, because the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said, will bring to mind all that He said. So He reminds us of stuff, but as we read this, we're filling ourselves up with what He will remind us of, and as it lives in us. Supposed to live in us, dwell, inhabit in us. Our mouths and our minds and our hearts are to be full of this. So here's the big idea from that text. Normally I do the big idea at the beginning. This is kind of not all the way towards the end, but kind of towards the two-thirds way mark. So big idea, God's children should be completely marinated in the Word of God. And why do I use the word marinate? Because when I was thinking about this text this week, the image that came to mind is, well, it's what I like to do with meat in the summer. And I'm doing it before and after. I've got the emails, everyone saying we need visual aids to remember things. So I hear that loud and clear. We have vision. No, no one sent me an email. Visual aids today. And I thought about it yesterday. I was out running. I was like, if there's a vegetarian or two or three with us. I know this will be offensive, and I apologize. I'll do vegetables next. I probably won't. Okay, you know what I like to do? My favorite thing to do is put meat in Ziploc bags, squeeze all the air out after I put stuff inside. I put salt in, and this one has lemon juice and chili flakes and mustard. That's like a secret ingredient for marinades, mustard and brown sugar and garlic powder and onion powder, and it sounds like a lot. Oh, and soy sauce and Worcestershire sauce, and you put those in appropriate amounts, and you just let it sit. Like, I was going to, I didn't think I could take this home after being out because of my son's peanut allergy, but it's in double Ziploc bag, so I'm going to take it home. We're going to eat this tonight. I'm going to eat that one. I'm going to give that one to one of my boys because that one's going to be so much better. I'm kidding. We are going to eat it. I'll probably eat the plain one. That's what I like to do with meat. And look at the difference in that. This is, you know, a decent piece of meat, but you know this one's going to be so much more delicious, right? Why? Because it's been marinated in. It's been surrounded by. In order for this to work, this has to be around it and not just like sprinkled on when you're cooking. Have you ever put like really good seasoning on while you're cooking and then you eat it and it's like, that doesn't taste right. It doesn't taste good. Because it's not been marinated in it. It's not been absorbed by it. It has to be around it and just soaking in it. And that's what this is saying, that we, if we're God's children, we're to be soaking in the Word of God always. This is what we're supposed to be marinated in this, to the point where it gets inside of us and it changes who we are. So then if you get to the end of that verse and you ask the question, so we start it with, we really normally don't do that a lot. We struggle to read the Bible, even some, much less totally marinate ourselves in it and read it all day long and think about it when we're not reading it and it being just what's inside of us, like this sauce is getting inside of that little steak. Why don't we do that if that's what we're supposed to be doing? Why is that not our reality? Why don't most of us stand up when I started talking about this and say, I've got this one. This is what I do all the time. I'm going to leave and do something more productive. Why do we need this verse? Isn't it because that normally the reason that we don't marinate ourselves in the Word is because when we read the Word, listen, we don't come to it expecting anything. And I'll raise my hand and say, this is me many mornings. I read the Bible because I know I need to, but I forget. I forget to expect something. I forget to come and say, this is more than just me fulfilling a task, checking the little marks on my reading plan and getting done for the day. This is, I'm supposed to be expecting something. And when we don't expect something, we don't get enthused about it and we don't desire it. And when we don't desire it, we don't do it. And that's why we don't read the Bible more, is because we're not expecting something from it. And this verse can give us hope, and it can give us motivation to actually do what's asking us to do. Look at what the key word in this, let the word of Christ, this is Jesus' word. This is his word. This is him talking to us. It changes us in the same way. Listen, and if you, this is gross, I apologize. This will be the last time I hold it up today. In the same way that, you know, just looking at this, this would be the one you would want to eat. Even though it looks kind of weird and has a weird color, you know that take it out of there and put it on heat, and then you would want to eat this one and not that one. Why? Because this one is being changed by what it's being marinated in. It's being completely transformed. There's salt in there, and the salt is breaking down the fibers and getting inside of the meat and letting the sauce flow into it. And if I let it sit there in there long enough, the whole piece of meat is going to taste, for better or worse, like the sauce that I put around it. It's being transformed by it. That's what this does when we marinate ourselves in this. It transforms us. And so what I want to do before we finish today is just raise our level of expectation again and remind us God transforms us when we read this, because it is his word, but the word of Christ. It's the word. Look over at Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3, look at what God's word does. He is talking about Jesus, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The word of Jesus, his word, is what is keeping everything spinning and everything working, and our atmosphere and the separation, the stars where they're at, and gravity, everything is working right now. Your body is holding together and not just evaporating into a little, you know, puddle of water. Because Jesus, through his word, is holding everything together. He sustains through his word. Look at 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 23. It says, then you have been born again. So he's talking to Christians, said, you're new. You've been born again. A birth happened on the inside of you. And then, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So we say, what made us be born again, Peter? Through the living and abiding word of God. And if you say, well, that sounds like it's saying that God's word is what makes us be born again, that it's the causing, the driving force that transforms us. But is that right? Well, flip over to James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth. So he made us new. He made us be transformed by the word of truth. It's his word that makes us be born again. His word is powerful. It transforms us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of joint, of a spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is living and powerful. And when we marinate ourselves in it, when we let it dwell in us abundantly, it gets inside of us, is what it's saying. Just like the salt is making the sauce flow into this piece of meat, even as we speak right now, when we read this and we think about it and we let God talk to us through his word, he gets inside of us and he opens us up and he exposes who we are and he transforms us. He changes us when we read the Bible. He corrects us. When we're in moments and we're not doing what we should do or thinking or feeling what we should do, his word, have you ever been in a moment like that and then you a verse from the Bible came into your mind? Like, that's not what I want to think about right now because it's going against. I'm mad. I don't want to think about it. And all things give thanks. This is not a good moment for that verse. Where's that verse coming from? It's the Spirit of Jesus reminding us of everything he said. And in that moment saying, you need to think about this. He corrects us through his word. He teaches us through his word. He prepares us to talk to other people. When you're reading this for you and you're letting God talk to you, he's also preparing you to teach and to guide and to talk to other people as you absorb his word. He motivates us through his word, both through the good examples and the bad examples. He shows us, he says, make the most of your life, live for me and my glory and for the kingdom, obey me, live with fear of God, because look at these people that didn't, and look at these people who did, and that's to motivate us. He transforms us through his word. He connects us with the Father as we read his word, and that's an incredible transformation. As I read this, and I know you've felt this too. We don't always feel it, but we feel it sometimes. We read this, and it's like God's talking to us. Not saying something new, saying his word. And we hear his voice through his word as we read. We're connected to God because we're listening to our Father. So what should we do? We should let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We should marinate ourselves in the word. And this morning, if you're not God's child, if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, this text is an invitation to you to receive the word of God. That doesn't mean get a Bible. It means receive the one who is the word of God. Receive Jesus. Become God's child. Let the word of Christ live in you through his spirit. Let Jesus live in you through his spirit. Repent and be baptized. Give yourself to him. Accept him as Savior and Lord. Let Jesus inhabit inside of you. Become God's child. That's what this verse is an invitation for you to do. And if you are someone who, if you never made that decision, you say, I want to do that. Or when you say, I want to do that, maybe this morning you say, I know I should, but I don't want to. I don't know why I don't want to. Talk to God about it. Say, God, would you please make me want to do that? Because I'm not going to do it I need to feel like I have to do it. And when you feel like you have to do it, say, I have to give myself to Jesus. Tell someone, because this is a community where there's enough keys circulating, where this building can be open and this thing can be rolled back and you can be baptized. You can repent and be baptized and give yourself to Jesus in the middle of the night, any day. It doesn't have to be Sunday. If you are a Christian, we're to let this inhabit in us, dwell in us abundantly. We're to read this. We're to read it a lot. We're to always be reading this. We're all to always be thinking about what we read. We're supposed to let ourselves. What's the recipe? I told you the recipe for this. What's the recipe for this inhabiting in us? It's saying, I'm going to start my day and open this. And then throughout the day, I'm going to keep opening it. And if you do it on your phone, that's fine. If you do it with a paper one, that's fine. But however you do it, I'm going to open this and make yourself read it. But I don't want to. I'm going to wait till I want. No. Do it because God says to, and then let him talk to you. That's part of the rest. That's where the recipe starts. And then we're supposed to expect something when we open this. God, would you talk to me? This is your word. Would you speak to me through your spirit, through your word? Would you make this living and active? And would you speak to me as I read? You said you do that. I expect that. I want that. And then as we read, we're to listen. And then at the end of reading, that's not the end of the recipe. We have to ask ourselves two questions. We're to say, what did he say? What did I just read? What is God saying in that? And then the second, and this is the most important thing. Every time we close this, we have to ask ourselves, what should I do? What is God telling me to do because of what I read right now? it's his word, he'll speak to me. So what did he say and what should I do? As we do that and continue to do it, we will be transformed by the living, powerful word of Christ as it dwells in us richly. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. Thank you for moments like this when you remind us that you speak to us when you read this book. We never have to feel alone. We have to never have to feel as if we're far from you. And we can listen to you at any moment. So God, I pray that you would help us to be people who listen to you in every moment. And that your word would dwell richly in us. And that you would transform us by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.